Amen. Well, open up, brethren. Say what's on your heart.
Mark, I have a
Larry.
question for my brother Opie. Are you okay, Opie? Are you suffering with pain in your back or something? I've been watching you walking and kind of twisting. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right, but it's cold. I'm trying to warm up myself. It's very cold.
All right.
It's
Well,
cold.
the
Thank
reason
you.
why I'm asking is, you know, for the last day, I've been having a problem with my lower back. You know, I can't,
Sorry.
you know, and I'm looking at my wife, I'm thinking, he looks like me trying to, you know, twist something back into place, you know? And I was just concerned, that's all.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I got to get to a meeting, and I didn't know if you needed prayer before I left. So
thank you. I'm so grateful. God bless you.
I've got a few little things to add. Remember when it said that Sarah laughed? One little word really stuck out to me. It said, Sarah laughed within herself. In other words, she may not have even laughed out loud. And I want to make sure everybody knows that God knows every little thing that goes on in you, everything you think. You don't have to say it or do it. He knows it. So Sarah might have just laughed within herself without even laughing out loud. So everybody be careful. And then we heard quite a bit today about why is God waiting on some of these things, like, you know, Abraham and Sarah going all the way up to 90 and whatever before they have this child. And here's one of the reasons why we're waiting. And I know I've told you this before, but before the age of computers, when an architect was going to bid on a job, he had to make a model of what he had in mind first. They used to build them out of toothpicks and popsicle sticks and whatnot, you know, making this building. Here's what I'm proposing. And do you know that this whole world is God's working model of the spiritual world? It's the working model. Everything that happens is what he had in mind for what was going to happen. And so the reason this waiting is going on is God is showing us this is going to happen. Remember, Mark just said, I think some of these things are going to happen again, just like Samson did. Well, we can see what God's plan is, knowing that this world and how it's working and everything that goes on, everything in it and how it operates, it's all a working model of what's going to happen. And then another thought that came to me was Sarah gave up on God's word. God told her you're going to have a child, but she gave up on that word and took it into her own hand to have that child with Hagar, and look at the mess it made. And what it brought to my mind was, remember when Peter was going to be killed? He was in prison, and who was ever in power at that time had just killed, I think it was John, he had just killed him the day before. So Peter knew this was no idle threat. Peter's in prison. He's going to be killed the next day. And he's sleeping so soundly that the angel has to slap him in the side of the face with his sword to wake him up. And I'm thinking to myself, now, who in their right mind who is going to die the next day is going to be sleeping so soundly like that? And I'll tell you what I think happened. Do you remember one time Jesus gave Peter a word? He said, when you were young, you did thus and thus and went where you wanted to and so forth and so on. But in your old age, others are going to dress you and lead you around. I think Peter was in prison and he was all fretting, and all of a sudden he heard, "When you are old, when you are old." And he realized the word God had given him, and he thought, "Hey, I'm not old. I'm not going to die tomorrow." And he was sleeping like a baby. So what I want to say is, don't ever give up on a word God gives you. It's going to happen. And you believe it, and you help it along. So don't give up when God gives you a word. And then another thing was the Nazarite vow. It always baffled me, because in the vow was, you're not to partake of the grape or any part of the vine. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, grapes are excellent. I mean, they're really, grapes are really good for you, you know. Why would the Nazarite vow have to not have anything to do with the grapes? And so one day I'm asking God, I said, "God, I want to understand this." And he spoke to me right on the spot. He quoted a scripture and he said, "Wine maketh merry the heart of man." And I said, "I don't see it, God." And he just kept saying to me, "Wine maketh merry the heart of man." And I just kept saying, "I don't understand it. Lord, reveal this to me." And he just says again, "Wine maketh merry the heart of man." And all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, wine maketh merry the heart of man, not necessarily God, the heart of man. And I realized the grape, which you make wine with, is the source, spiritually speaking, it's the source of natural joy. That natural joy is not what we need to be all concerned with. You know, all the niceties of life and all the things that make man happy, we need to be happy with what makes God happy. And so I finally realized what that Nazarite vow was. We need spiritual joy. You know, have you ever heard happiness depends on happenings? Well, that's not the way it is in the spirit. It says spirit gives true joy even in turmoil and tribulation and everything else. Okay, and then also another thing that stuck out to me was Manoah's wife. When that angel appeared to her, and Mark said she ran off to get her husband. And the thought came to my mind, how would this world be different if that's what Eve had done? And so this is a word to you women out there. You go to your husband, even if you think he doesn't know anything. You need to go check with him on things that come into your life. And, you know, my experience has been, and this is just my opinion, okay, that when a man is doing something wrong, he knows it, but he does it anyway. And when a woman's doing something wrong, many times she absolutely does not know that she's doing anything wrong. I think that women are a little more susceptible to deception just by the making of God, just like that's why Satan came to Eve instead of Adam. So you women, you go to your husbands. And then the last thing is, when the last example Mark gave, when she brought the man of God in and was making a place for him to stay and feeding him with bread and stuff, did you see that she had an ulterior motive? She wanted something. That's why she was doing that. And the point I want to make is God's okay with that. God's okay with an ulterior motive, as long as that ulterior motive is righteousness. As long as it's righteous. Don't you be afraid to be wanting something. And that's why you're going to God, as long as it's something that's righteous that you want. So He's a good God. Don't be afraid of anything like that. You ask him what you want, and he's going to perform it for you, because that's what he wants, is for you to want him. So God bless. Those are the things that came to me today.
Amen. I want to speak on the fact, I do not know whether to call it, a confession or something? I don't know. Maybe not confession. But today's message actually removed a part of my humanness. I think I can say confidently that part of my flesh is removed by the message today. And that emanates from the understanding that is coming to me concerning barrenness. Barrenness is a lack. And in this case, what every person is having around you are not able to have yourself. And God today is telling me and is telling us that instead of one to worry and ask God why, I should rejoice, we should rejoice. Because through barrenness, God brings forth a righteous seed from his people. I believe that if something good is withholding from me, then God is telling me to cry unto him to bewail my virginity, so to speak, and look up to him in trust and a fruit which ordinarily could not be born in me to be born. So it is a very great relief to me that something that should have been a source of regret or worry in certain situations, I will now look up to God in prayers, in trusting him, because in barrenness, God brings forth a righteous seed. For example, if I were still working and every person around me is promoted and I am left behind when others have been promoted again and again, God then is telling me something, and that something is to cry unto him, is to look at myself, understand the direction of my crying to him, so that I can make amends and come to him, and he will use that situation to bring forth something for himself. That is one understanding. That is the understanding that came to me, and I'm very happy. Why am I happy? It brought to my remembrance Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, saying that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to to his purpose. So it means that as a child of God, I really do not have to have regrets for situations that are adverse that God, you know, permits to come in my way. So it's like peace, not like peace. I received peace today by this message. So that when situations of barrenness come, I then know that God requires me to look up to him the more, to cry to him the more. Thank you, brethren. I'm very pleased, and I know that this word has come to build me up. That instead of being in the flesh, when things that are adverse come to me, I will rejoice and get closer to God. Praise King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. There are two ways to respond to the barrenness if you find yourself in that position. You can rejoice, you can travail, you can sing, or you can become very bitter and very angry, because you see from the word, it is God that opens and closes the womb. So your choice. One way is the highway, the other way is the low way. Amen.
Amen. What is the low way? Is it the straight and narrow way?
The low way? No, there's one way. If you're barren, I'm talking in the natural as well, you can become very angry and very bitter against God. Very, very bitter. But, you know, God has a purpose in all this.
Yeah. I want to say one thing about Sarah laughing. The name Isaac means laughter.
Yeah, Kathy's pointing out that Isaac means laughter.
Yes. And Opie, the low way is the wrong way.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to understand what he said.
Well, thank you for that good testimony, Opie.
Thank you.
Any more? Anything more to add?
It seems that we need to reach the barrenness in our soul to be able to reach out, cry out to the Lord, for he's allowing us to reach the barrenness of our soul so that we can come to the point where it can't be us at all. It has to be God doing it in us, and not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by God only, so that he can receive all the praise and honor and glory, so that we can't take credit for any part of it, that it has to be completely the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
You know, and we need to, we've seen this in the natural and the spiritual, but we also need to see this in its fullness.
Amen.
The fullness is the coming of the kingdom of God. And this is why I ended with that Revelation chapter 12. This is the prophecy concerning the fullness, the coming forth. The not just me personally and what's happening to me in my personal spiritual walk, but the body of Christ,
Amen.
the whole house of God, the woman church coming into travail. I don't know that we've really come into that yet. And we certainly have not brought forth yet the man child. You know, and I know there are people in this world that are saying, well, you've been preaching this end time word for, you know, we've been waiting for 20 years and it's not happening. Why are you still preaching it? That does not negate the truth of this message.
Now, when I look at the word barrenness and place it side by side with tribulation, I see barrenness as more personal. As as one goes into that situation, you can see others not in it, but tribulations sometimes are general, other times they are personal. But barrenness is always personal. So barrenness is a means, I believe, from what God is saying to us today. Barrenness is a means God uses to bring forth his life from us. By his life, I mean bring forth righteous seed, righteous lifestyle, fruit, being fruitful unto him. So barrenness specifically is very important for the growth of a child of God. Praise God.
Amen. Well, thank you all for your participation and what you've added to it. I appreciate it very much. And it seems that we've come to the end of our meeting today.
Could
So
I
maybe.
ask something off camera?
Wait a minute. Yeah, I got to remember to turn this thing off.